The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 286. Hope you're doing well out there, and I thank you for checking out this episode. It's an episode featuring the seventh appearance of one Mr. Brian Lau. Now, for your new listeners, you may not know who Brian Lau is, but he's an independent comic book creator who has produced the science fiction supernatural book, Staunch Ambition, as well as a more nonfiction book, if you want to call it that, Inferno City Firehouse. Brian is a friend and a fan of the PVD Cast, and he's coming on to talk about his current Kickstarter. The Kickstarter is basically kind of a two-prong attack, so to speak. One, it is going to give you the fourth and final installment for the first section of the tale of Staunch Ambition, and it's going to collect all four issues. The preview issue, issues 1, 2, 3, and 4. So it's a huge project that Brian's been working on for quite a while, and he just needs some help to fund it through Kickstarter. And so he's coming on to talk about that Kickstarter, which, by the way, ends next Wednesday, June 2nd. And as of the recording of this podcast, he was at 72% funded. So you know what? If you want a great tale that is something unique, because Staunch Ambition is a science fiction fantasy book, and Brian's going to talk about it in our conversation, but I guarantee you've never seen or heard of such a tale in comics. And he's got a lot of great, cool things going on. There's a collaboration with actress Halea Jones. There's obviously music, as there always is with Brian's book for Staunch Ambition. There's a ton of stuff that I can't wait for you to hear in our conversation. So, you know what? Rather than trying to fit all of that in right here, right now, let me just do this. Let me talk about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. Of course, I'm referring to World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they have pretty much everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, they've got graphic novels, they've got collections, they've got toys, collectibles, thousands of back issue posters, a great pull system. So if you are in need of a comic book shop, you gotta check out World's Greatest Comics, especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you know what? You're probably thinking to yourself, I'm listening in Pennsylvania or Colorado or France or wherever, but I still want to check out the store. Well, you can do that. Just go over to their great website, wgcomics.com, or swing on over on Facebook. They're at WG Comics, and you can check out all the cool stuff that they got going on at the store. And with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Staunch Ambition's own Brian Lau. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to what's going to be a fun conversation. I'm sitting down with friend of the show, independent comic book creator, all around nice guy, Brian Lau. Brian, how are you doing this evening?
Hello.
Are you going to sing it to us?
Yeah, let's sing. Let's sing, baby. It's been a while. It's been a bit.
It's been a bit. Yeah, it's
been a while. Well, since I've been on your show, we've done some like remake revolutions that should have won, but we won't talk about that.
That's right. It's been a while since you've been on the PVD cast just by yourself. And, you know, I think you're in that upper echelon of guests that have been on many, many times. I think this is probably what, number six?
Number six, really? It seems like I've been on like about 50 times.
50 times? Yeah.
50. This is only the sixth time?
No, you know what? It's seven.
There you go. Now we're talking. Now we're cooking with real oil. So, side of pickles.
Well, it's good to have you back. We got a little bit of some news to talk about with you and your new Kickstarter project. But let's maybe just start for maybe the new folks who have never heard an episode with you and I on the PVD cast. Let's just back up to the beginning and let's talk for a minute.
You're telling me like they missed the last six episodes?
It's possible.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
It's possible. And those number one and two, those might be behind the paywall. Those might be the obscure ones.
They're not even like touching the paywall. They're buried underneath the paywall.
For folks listening at home, there is no paywall because I can't seem to get organized enough to do anything with old episodes. So,
well, there's a paywall. You want to get some quality comics because I work my freaking tail off. And boy, do I got something for you. Music, comics, epic stuff, man. It's actually a lot of good stuff going on. So let me tell you. All right, let me give you. In fact, you, my friend, are the only one who's ever given my pitch when we do. We share tables together, and you're at the con, and you're a pitch man. It comes natural to you. So you've heard it. But I was like, oh, my gosh. First of all, I'm not sure I'm the greatest pitcher. And the second of all, I was wondering, like, if I've just said it so much, if it's just I need to revitalize it. Guess what? I've revitalized the pitch. Are you ready?
All right, give us the pitch for your book, Staunch Ambition.
So, like I do in my preview issue, I need to set the stage for this universe, okay? So, in our modern day, we tend to just look at everything scientifically and materialistically, which is great to a certain level. Right? Because we've learned so much, we've studied so much. But one of the things that seems to me, the more we learn, the fact is, the less we really do know. So I want to look back when the microscope was invented. And there was theories going around that the more we studied the microscopic, the simpler things might get. All these years later, we've been studying is deep beyond the atomic, and there seem to be no end to the complexity. I mean, can you really imagine if we were studying the microscopic and it actually did get simpler? The implications of that in our thinking, in our mentality would be completely different than where we're at right now. So there's this mystery. As much as we've studied, it seems like we have no clue exactly what's going on and how far it goes. And the same with the astronomic. We look at the universe and we still don't know. Is there an end to the universe? Is there a beginning? Is it infinite? If there's an end, what's at the end of the universe? A restaurant?
If it is a restaurant, I hope to goodness it's not Denny's.
Denny's. Wow, that would be hell. You're right, man. I actually have vowed never to go back to Denny's. Ooh, man, that's a rough place.
Same here. Same have here.
You? Okay, we're on the same boat on that. That's a Douglas Adams nod. The restaurant at the end of the universe was from Douglas Adams' Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So, but anyways, with that premise, with that setup, my concept is in this book is to merge these two realities, the scientific, materialistic endeavors with this mystery and this beyond the material supernatural. What if in our future we entered the supernatural through advanced technology? What would that be like? So that's one of my taglines, welcome to the new enlightenment. So that's the general premise, and of course it's driven by all the characters within that context. So.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the current Kickstarter, because you have a fourth edition coming out and it's double-sized, and you're also collecting all of the tales and putting them into one collection. So Why'd you decide to do a collection?
Well, this is the thing. I wanted to go from selling the single issues to a full trade, because you know, you can sell the full story to someone. Of course, it's nice if someone doesn't know your story to start out with. Issue ones are always popular, right? But well, I mean, you get the full season one here. So plus, I did a double size issue four, and this is the ending of season one. So this is going to be compiled together at like 128 pages, and we're remastering the first four issues zero and one through three. I've learned a lot over time. You've seen actually some of the edits I've been going back and forth with my new editor, Steve Cole. He's been in the business forever. So this trade is not only the full season one, but I'm going to put every cover in there, variant cover and regular standard issue cover, remastering, and there's going to be some bonus material. So this is going to be a great trade. You know, we're putting a lot of work in. It's not just like putting it all together into one issue, but we're actually refining it as well. So,
and I can vouch, because as you said, I have a little bit of insider knowledge that the remastered previous issues zero through three, it's just a little bit tighter. That's all. But it makes a difference. Just that little bit, just that microscopic tweaking really makes it a great story. And it was a great story to begin with too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely proud of everything that I've done, but yes, you do learn things over time. And then Steve brings, you know, years of experience. So it's, some of it's subtle. It's just subtle eye flow. We're doing some of the like lettering layouts a little bit better, and just a little bit on the dialogue. You know, the essence of the story is the same. So it's gonna be. I'm gonna be even more proud of it. So it's so good.
And let's talk about some of the other things that are connected to the Kickstarter, because you got original music. You got a partnership with somebody that, to be honest, is it's a cool partnership, man. That's all I can say. That's the only thing that I can think of. You know, I can't even put it into words. See, that's how awesome the collaboration is. I can't even put words to it, Brian.
No, but nobody can. Nobody can even speak of it.
No,
it's so amazing.
It's so amazing. Heads might explode.
It can only be spoken about from a distance, a roundabout. No, yeah, you're right. In fact, I think you were on the show too, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I actually was.
Yeah. So I guess let's get into the music. I've always tinkered with melodies and always dreamed of taking my melodies and handing them over to an actual musician, because I'm more like somebody who has one, two fingers trying to play the piano. But I've composed some melodies over time, and I can imagine how they could be produced into real music. So I always dreamed of doing that. When I was doing my book, I was like, you know what? I want to do this music too and have it with the book. So I gave my melodies over to some musicians, Elements of Cadence, Jason Connolly, and Silver Meow. And Silver Meow did his own music. But I just had that as a dream, and I combined it with the book. And so I had this original music, but let me tell you, I tell you a sad story. It was like a stab to the heart. You were on that podcast, and I want to let you know where I was at mentally. I had all that. I have amazing. It's a great music. People love the music. It's not just, you know, bull crap added music. It's serious music, and it really fits. But I wanted to have some new music for this epic season finale. And so I was trying to figure out, who can I collaborate with? And I had a friend in high school that we were like close for a long time. And I, you know, you lose track of friends in high school and that. And then sometimes you can connect back up with them on social media. I had literally many times over the years tried to search him out online or see if I can find him or connect. And I wondered, is he alive still or what? What the hell? He just was not online. His name was Jeremy. Well, we became friends because we worked at the same place, and we were both Queensrÿche fans. I don't know if you've ever listened to Queensrÿche, but so 30 years later, I go to a Jeff Tate concert, the lead singer in the Queensrÿche, with my son and my sister, and I'm talking to them in the beginning of the show, and I see this guy, and I'm like, what the frick? I know you, dude. But he looked a little different because, you know, you're older, and he was a little heavier. It was Jerry, and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe I finally found you, man. I've been looking for you forever. And so we were going to hook up, and he was a guitar player, singer. And so we were going to get together, make new music for the book. and his son was in wrestling. I was going to go see his son wrestle, and COVID hits. Lockdowns. I talked to him 3 times on the phone. COVID hits. We don't get together, and he died of a heart attack. And it was like just stabbed me in the heart, man. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, I was so angry and hurt. Obviously, his family is really struggled with it, you know. But for me, it was like I was so, all this excitement to see my friend and get to hang out with him and then do music together. And it's boom. So then take it up to this podcast you and I are on with Halea Jones. And I'm like, she mentions, you know, Halea Jones, multi-talented. She mentions that she does music. And so guess what I did? You were there. I jumped all over it. I was like, you do music? I'm looking for some new music for this next issue. And so she's like, well, email me. And so I emailed her, and we've been going back and forth. She's really taking this serious. Like, she's getting into the mentality, the lyrics. She's got a real, like, supernatural, atmospheric feel to her music, so it fits perfect. So she's multi-talented. If you just, you know, she plays such a bitch on the show, like a crazy person, but she couldn't be nicer. She's just so talented.
And that would be the Netflix show Lock and Key, by the way. For those of you that are not familiar with who Halea Jones is, she is Eden.
Eden Hawkins.
Yep. Eden Hawkins, yes, on Lock and Key. So, yeah, so she's a busy person as well as being a multi-talented person. And I'm glad that collaboration came together for you. So let's talk a little bit about just the basic structure, the basic summary, all right? Because you touched a little bit on the tagline and the premise for Staunch Ambition, but let's run through some of the characters and some of the events without giving away too much, Brian, so that new listeners can get a feel for what Staunch Ambition is all about.
Yeah, let's do that, man. What do you want to start with? Throw one of the characters on me.
Okay, let's start with Nimrod.
Nimrod. Let's start with Azarus.
Okay, well, geez. You pick somebody. John, your selection sucked. Let's go.
Try again, John. What do you want to start with, you said?
Nimrod.
Yeah, let's start with Nimrod. No, that's perfect. I was just messing with you. I like to mess with you. You're my brother. So this is the deal. Staunch Industries, the name of the book, Staunch Ambition. Staunch Industries is the leading industry of advanced technology, you know, space travel, and they make these worker clones that are specifically made to work. So the way that they do this is they genetically engineer them, splicing them between human and animal, and then make them with no sexual organs so that they would stay isolated, not go off, colonize, try to reproduce on their own. And they create them with a controlled self-consciousness. You know, it's limited and controlled. Nimrod happens to be one of these genetically engineered worker clones that's a genetically engineered pain in the ass. Is a brilliant, he's unusual, brilliant clone that they rely on with so much because of his brilliance that they put up with his bullshit. Nimrod is crucial to the story because he gets the crap rolling in the beginning of the story where the shit just hits the fan. So Nimrod is kind of on some kind of a quest and just sabotages the station. And the big question that you're going to get answers to in this season finale is, what in the world is this guy up to? Or this, let's call him a clone. This crazy clone up to. So that's Nimrod.
Well, let's go with Riel.
Riel, Commander Riel Avila is one of the lead commanders on Staunch's main space station, the Ambition. Thus, you see station in my title's name. She is a human, and she is caught in the dynamics of dealing with the reality of her birth parents and her adopted parents. So she's kind of dealing with that on a personal level, but then when Rod comes in and sabotages the station. Of course, she's caught in the middle of that, and she's on a quest to figure out what the hell's going on with Rod, and kind of comes into the underbelly, or movements happening within the underbelly of Staunch Industries. So she's going to unravel a lot of their own personal family life and stuff going on with her employer. So
about Azarus.
So Azarus is also a worker clone that is genetically engineered with classic sci-fi. Azarus starts to break free from this controlled self-consciousness and start to question his purpose. As you know, am I animal, male, female, male? What does it mean to be those things? Azarus starts to, and also gets caught up into this whole happenings behind the scenes in Staunch Industries. So, and then faces off with Rod. Those are the main three characters, and of course we got some other side characters as well. So,
I think one of the things that you mentioned, you know, throughout the times you've come on the PVDcast to talk about the project, is that you've had this story in your head for a very, very long time. So can you talk just a little bit about the origin of this tale?
Well, the absolute origin was in college. I had to do a comic book cover, just some cool comic book cover. So I used to play a game with my brother. We would play D&D, we're geeks, and then we would play Champions, which was a similar to D&D, but a superhero version of D&D, where it was a role-playing, and you had these character sheets that you would make up a character with powers for every power that, like, say they had 100 strength, you had to have some 100 strength negative characteristic, like, you know, fear of wind or something, who knows. So, like, you know, you just had to make this character balanced with strengths and that, and it was a role-playing game, Champions. And my brother did this, like, simple mock-up design of this character, and I was intrigued by it. So I went and I did my college assignment cover with this character. It was very, like, old school style, retro style art. And I just looked at it and I thought, I want to do like a Boris or, you know, like something really, you know, Fazzetti or something like really detailed. Maybe not their style, but something detailed. So years later, I just thought, I'm going to just go all out on this piece. Because back in college, I was trying to do the book. It was called Half-Life, and it was more generic story, you know, your cliche kind of a story. Never really got it off the ground, got married, had kids. And then years later, I just like, I'm just going to go all out on this character because this character is so intriguing. And then as I did this like realistic three-dimensional version of this character, all of his stories of the idea of like our future and genetic engineering and what would happen if we entered the supernatural and the implications of that started to come together. And I would just write down stuff. And then the story wouldn't let me go. And so I was like, finally got to the point where I was like, I got to tell the story, you know, because I don't want to kick myself saying I should have tried. It was too compelling to me, and I wanted to know what was going to happen. You know, like I had basic concepts, but I wanted to know how it was going to work out. So I just started writing it, and then I came into some money, and I decided I'm just going to put the preview issue out there. I put all the money up myself just to get it going, and then I started doing Kickstarters and comic conventions. After that, as an independent creator, so.
And the rest is history, as they say.
That's what it's happening. Yeah, I have a time machine that goes forward in time, and I'm currently in it. So yeah, one day at a time, man. But it is quite a bit of history. We have, I mean, how long have we? Like you came, like we met up, I think, around issue one, right?
No, I want to say it was preview issue time.
Okay,
I want to say that
I was probably just around my Kickstarter, because this is what I did. I went on Twitter, probably on my first Kickstarter, and I just typing in like,
yep,
comic fan, yep, or this or that. And I was like, I don't know if I messaged you or what, but I was just trying to like, you know, stir the pot. And then we like, look, I met you.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I got this random DM and I'm like, well, this looks cool. And as I told you, and this is, I know people probably are listening at home going, well, of course you're biased, John. But no, I'm being serious. When I first took a look at it, I was like, wow, this is really colorful. It's really well done. It's slick looking. It was not like too many other indie books, you know, and we all have different styles in indie comics. But this had something totally different. And I'm like, I need to, you know, touch base with this guy and get him on the show. And, you know, that's just how it happened. That's how we became friends.
That piece I did of Azarus is on, I have the preview issue is a flip book. So it has two covers. The one side is a Koi Pham cover, which is brilliant. Koi Pham is brilliant, but my book's not a superhero book. It's got like supernatural in it, so it's got some kind of aspects or feel of that, but it's a little more like, you know, sci-fi supernatural is it. But you flip it, and is that version I did of Azarus, this real detailed version, that thing, that piece was the foundation that allowed things to start picking up, like what you're saying. It's like, okay, what is this? That's what got Freddie Williams the second to be intrigued and do my cover to my issue one. I mean, he works for DC. He was already, you know, he's a well-established artist. And I'm just some peon guy with a preview issue. So he sees that, though, and he sees the premise, and he's like, yeah, I'll do this. He was intrigued enough to just do it because it was like, I want to do something creative. And it's just kind of been snowballing.
Well, let's talk about the particulars of the Kickstarter. It's ongoing right now. As people are listening to this on May 27th-ish, there's, what, 5-6 days left in the campaign? Is that correct?
It goes until June 2nd.
June 2nd, okay.
So I wanted to wait until after the holiday weekend because I don't know what people are going to be like crazy barbecuing. So it's June 2nd.
So you want to talk about any particular perks or anything that we didn't talk about with that Kickstarter to get people to plunk down some cash and check out one awesome project?
Well, this is the perfect time. Well, at least check it out. I mean, you know, like you're saying that's intriguing, beautiful art and all that. And I can brag about it because I work with amazing artists. So this is the perfect time to come aboard because I've been working on this for a while and this is the season finale. So you're going to get the full season one arc, you know. Instead of having like John here to wait, you know, meet for me, get stuff out. Plus, I took a break. I took quite a break between 3 and 4 doing Infernal City Firehouse, which is another awesome book. But and you can get that on the Kickstarter. But this is perfect because you can get the full story all in one and in a trade. You can get the single issues. I always offer exclusive versions of the book only Kickstarters have access to. So they're numbered, you know, variant covers. I got the music with Halea Jones, which, like you said, is one of the main actresses on Lock and, you know, hit Netflix hit show Lock and Key. So she's going to have a new song. I'm hoping to come out with a trailer video for the song soon. I got the posters, double size issues, so it's awesome. The cover artists are amazing on this. I've got original art commissions you can get from Koi Fam, or Koi Fam, I think it's pronounced Fam. I've been Americanizing it all this time. Fam, Koi Fam. And so Freddie Williams II are doing, they're selling out. I've already sold some of them, and there's, I think Fam's only got one of each of his commissions left. You got Clayton Crane art and exclusive that are selling out. So there's a bunch of stuff to look at and to choose. Now, it's hard. The hardest part about a Kickstarter is to figure out what to combine, especially when you have so many things to offer, music and posters and variants and all that, other book like Infernal City Firehouse. So I put together reward tiers that I thought were the basics of certain people who I only want issue 4. I only want both of issue 4, the variant and the regular cover. But if you don't have the option exactly what you want, I'm going to have add-ons at the end of the campaign. So just simply pick whatever like is exactly your bottom line you want. Then you'll have the option to add a poster or a book or a song, all the songs on at the end. You know, sometimes people look at add-ons as like just a way to try to get more money out of people. And it's like, maybe that's the case in some regard, or maybe that's how it was came up with. But that really just gives you power to get exactly what you want. You know, you want extra pickles, you want no mayonnaise, you know, you can get extra pickles at the end of the campaign. So that's one of my stretch goals.
You know, I'm just going to throw it out there. And I know, Brian, you won't mind me saying this. Look, you know, if you go to Kickstarter, you go and you search for Staunch Ambition, you like what you see, and maybe times are tough right now. Maybe you don't have the cash. At least tell other folks about it. You know, yeah. Hit that share button. Tell folks about it. I mean, it costs you nothing to do that. You know, I think, Brian, you agree with me. Sometimes you get in a bind. You ain't got the cash right now. You know,
I would go out and get a loan and probably back my Kickstarter because let me tell you the true story, John. The second comic book I've ever worked on, I started my career out in Hall of Heroes. And it was kind of like American Idol. They would take nobodies. Hall of Heroes would take these young artists that had talent. And he would produce their art and pay for all the production and all that. printing and all that and marketing, just to give them a shot, like you get it on American Idol or something. Well, that's where Ethan Van Sciver started, and Matthew Martin and Trent Canuga. And I did my second, I did two, colored two covers for Matt Martin, Vortex. The second one I did happens to be the first appearance of Cyberfrog, and it's recently selling for $50 to $100 on eBay. So you buy my book, you're going to be able to pay that loan off. You're going to be able to put your kids through college. No, but Sharon, you're right. I agree. Sharon, I'm independent. So, you know, you might have a friend that's a millionaire that wants to back it. And why would you keep them from the joy of buying my book? And me, the joy of that millionaire backing my book. You know what I mean? So independent, it's all word of, it's a lot of word of mouth. And there's no, this is, Kickstarter is the convention scene because there's no freaking conventions going on.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's going to change here real soon.
It is going to change. We're doing a convention coming up.
That's right. You know what? You mentioned it, so let's just talk
real
briefly.
Do you hear the sirens going by?
I can.
Yeah, sorry. I live on a main street. It's just hot. Somebody was driving so fast to back my Kickstarter, I think they slammed into a telephone pole down the street there. I hope they're all right because I want them to get home and be able to back my book before it's too late. At least keep his heart pumping enough to get that book back.
This podcast took a very morbid turn all of a sudden.
Sorry about that. It's been a long week. It's been long week.
You know what though? It was almost a good segue because I was going to say let's talk a little bit about Inferno City Firehouse, which is one of the books that's part of the perks with the Kickstarter.
They just drove by.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the tale.
The Kickstarter was so hot, caught a house on fire down the street. Some guy was backing it. Firefighters just flew by my house and put it out. Hopefully they do in time. But anyways, no, it is. I was doing my book, and a firefighter, frustrated geek, said that nobody does books on firefighters, and it intrigued me. I looked it up. I thought back of my whole life collecting comics, and I don't remember any real stories of firefighters except for like a cartoon thing for kids, you know, firefighters are good or something, or fire is bad or whatever. And it intrigued me, and I thought, wow, what a neglected genre in comics, you know, firefighters. My grandfather is a Detroit firefighter for 26 years. He was a firefighter during the riots, and he's seen some shit. And like it's not an easy life being a firefighter in many areas. They're called at any moment to step up and to be a hero. So his frustration led to me feeling like called to do a book about firefighters. So I took true stories from real Detroit firefighters, from my grandfather, my childhood, firefighters I rented from a firefighter, and I did ride-alongs with the Detroit Fire Department. And I took all these true stories and put them together into a narrative. So it's a gritty book. It's not a propaganda piece about how great firefighters is. It deals with the gritty side of bad decisions and good decisions. And it's a powerful book, man. I get a lot of good feedback from it.
Cool. Yeah, I got to say, it's an amazing book. I know you work with a lot of talented folks, but Erwin Arosa just absolutely killed it on Inferno City Firehouse, as he does great stuff with Staunch Ambition too. But yeah, it's a different change of pace. Definitely want folks to know that Inferno City Firehouse is very different than Staunch Ambition, but still both quality books.
Yeah, and I got some movie connections because a director saw an article about this, my book, Inferno City Firehouse, and contacted me and wanted to film me in the book because he's doing a documentary about real firefighters struggling with PTSD and depression or whatever. And they flew into town, into Detroit, filmed me in my book, and then I connected them up with the same fire departments that I was doing ride-alongs with. And Mike Nevin was the president of the Detroit Firefighters Association at the time, so they got a bunch of footage from Detroit. It's going to be in their documentary. Right now, they're pitching it to streaming services. We'll see what. Well, I'm waiting on pins and needles to see what comes of it. And he's going to take my footage and make it into a standalone short film. So I'm waiting to be able to start promoting that and marketing that. We'll see when that happens. And also, he hired me to and well, me and my crew, I had my crew do it. The official poster for the movie's going to be called Florian's Night. So,
is that poster available like on your website now?
It's not marketed yet because they're waiting to see who they collaborate with to figure out how they want to market it. So,
okay, wait, yeah, but still, you know what? Where can folks find you on the interwebs, real quick?
Well, my main website is staunchambition.com. Just type in Staunch Ambition in Google. You'll see all kinds of stuff. I do have an Infernal City Firehouse website. The Staunch Ambition one has my main store where you can get everything and links to it. Has stuff about Infernal City Firehouse. It has videos. It has links to my social media. I have social media for both Infernal City Firehouse and Staunch Ambition, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram mainly. So. It's all connected. I put links to the Kickstarter on my websites and on my social media. So,
before Brian gives one final pitch about his Kickstarter, I'm going to interrupt to talk about a great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, thousands of back issues. They've got one world-class pull system. They got it all. So check them out online at WGComics.com or find them on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVD cast. Okay, final pitch. Make it happen. Tell somebody why they need to check out the Kickstarter and why they need to pick up the book.
Well, check it out at least. I mean, life's busy, but if you're listening to this podcast, then you probably like comics. You like good art. By no means am I making it here, you know, with how hard it is to make comics. So do a guy a favor who's working his butt off. Erwin Arosa deserves it. He's one of the greatest guys I've ever met. You're going to see great art from people, like I said, Clayton Crane, Freddie Williams, and Koi Pham. Other artists as well, Halea Jones. So there's so much to look at, and then give a guy a chance, and then share it. Like John said, if you back it, you're going to get your money's worth. We put every we work our tail off on it. This is not my day job at all. So a lot of work goes into it, and the quality is up there as good as any other book, and I can say that because I don't do all the work. So I mean, I put it all together, but I work with the best talent out there. So
is it fair to say you know your limitations, right?
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
Even with that firefighter poster, it was like I was contemplating doing it, and I actually even talked to you about it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, I could have probably did something, but I would have been real stressed about it. I'm already busy doing my book. And then I got J.A. DeFoyd, who did the Spider-Man Nightcrawler poster with me, but he also does these like Renaissance, like oil painting. He could do anything. Jay, he's the best artist I know as far as versatility. You can do comic books to like Renaissance oil paintings. And he did the main final version. Bunny did a lot of the prelibs with it. But my limitations, if I can't figure out how to do it, I'll find someone who can.
That's absolutely a great idea and very intelligent, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'll learn what I can. I mean, you can go on to the University of YouTube, but sometimes you need, even if you can do it, you need guidance and help from someone else. So.
You made me chuckle, University of YouTube. I'm stealing that. Can I steal that?
Oh, yeah, man. I've learned. All right. Are you kidding me? You know how much I've learned off of YouTube?
So we talked a little bit about Comic-Cons. Do you got any coming up real soon?
Yeah, we got Torg. Is that before Monroe?
That is the week after Monroe, I believe.
So we got two within the same like couple weeks, man. So yeah. We got Monroe Comic Con and Torg.
Pop Fest,
not Monroe Comic Con. Yeah, Monroe Pop Fest, buddy. But anyways, no, you're going to be coming to close to my neck of the woods in Michigan. Monroe Pop Fest is awesome. Like it used to be the greatest one day show, but it's no longer the greatest one day show. Now it's the greatest two-day show. It's 2 days, bro. I mean, so, like, I got to figure out where I'm going to sleep. Like, there's probably some good ditch out there I can get a nap in. But 2 days now, so I'm excited, man. Gary's awesome because, like, big shows don't always promote all of their artists and vendors in it. Gary promotes everybody. He's awesome, this guy. And his show is awesome, man. It's not like the giant cons, but it's big and it's got big names. You know, it's the perfect size.
Yeah.
I got a corner booth, too.
So oh, you got a corner booth for Monroe?
Yes, I do. I'm going to be rocking it. Word. Big table.
Nice. Strobe and then light. Also strobe dance. Lights.
We're going to have a nightclub in the back. There you go. You're going to be danced up like in your stockings, right?
No. No.
I'm going to shave my legs.
Oh, jeez.
See,
dude, you've screwed me all up. I'm trying. Oh, Torg. We were talking about Torg. That's going to be in Columbus. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man.
I believe that's the 25th of September, if I remember correctly.
I've never done it. It's got like a mix between pop culture, comics, and gaming. So that's going to be cool. And I'm cool. Friends with the guys. We'll be able to hang out with Canned Air, with you. So that's going to be fun. Torg. It's my first time, so I'll definitely enjoy it.
All right. Well, Brian, we're getting up there. So any last words here before we wrap things up?
Man, I said a lot. So, you know, people, you know, the Kickstarter will say the rest, man. You go there, check it out, share it, you know, do independent comics right, you know, quality ones too at that. And thanks for having me on, bro. It's like nice to be back on your show officially. And I look forward to seeing you. I missed you. I was getting sick of doing shows and I was literally said, I'm going to take a break. And then they get shut down. And he's like, now I can't wait to do a show. So it just went 180 on me. So I'm really looking forward to this. This is a great time, man. I mean, so much good stuff with movies and music and comic books and season finales and all that. A lot of great stuff's happening.
All right, O'Brien, thanks for coming on again. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Brian Lau, talking about his current Kickstarter, which will fund issue 4 and the graphic novel for the first installment of Staunch Ambition. And seriously, Brian's a great dude. I know sometimes we get a little bit annoying maybe with our comedy going back and forth, and I hope that wasn't the case on this episode. But he's a great dude. He's put a lot of effort into Staunch Ambition. He puts a lot of effort into everything he does, so help him out if you can. Help him get to 100% funded. Go over to Kickstarter, type in Staunch Ambition, and look for the current Kickstarter. It ends June 2nd. As I said, let's help him get to 100% so he can continue on with the production of this book and have it ready to go for later this year when Brian is going to be at all these great comic book conventions, which, thank goodness, those are coming back. They have been sorely, sorely missed. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you want to contact me because you have a question about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. And if you want, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. If you'd like to tell some folks about this great podcast, tell them that they can check it out at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, but it's also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. So just plug PVDcast, or sometimes you have to put PVDcast John Orlando in the search engine of your favorite podcasting platform, click the button, and you should be able to find it. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss a great episode of the PVD cast. But maybe you don't want to go through all those hoops, because it's a few hoops to jump through. Well, there's an easier way to hear every weekly episode of the PVD cast, and that is through the live Facebook broadcasts that I do over at PVDcast on Facebook, and it's also simulcast through the Three Geeks and the Scene Snobs websites as well. And I want to thank, of course, my partners, the Three Geeks Podcast and the Scene Snobs, for helping out with that simulcast. and you should check them out. Three Geeks are over at their website, threegeeks.ninja, and the Scene Snobs are also on their website, thescenesnobs.com. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. Once again, I thank you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.